This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 643 with Aaron Lawrence, recorded on April 17th, 2025. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Carlson, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios. Here in actually a severe weather warning. We've been having severe weather rolling through just over the last hour. Aaron, I wasn't sure we were going to kind of make it on as maybe about 2 or 3 hours ago. The timing was just so that we thought it's going to happen right at the time. But tornadoes went to the north and to the south. You're here with me. All is well. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. So good to be here. So good to talk to you, and always good to connect with your audience. They ask great questions, and it's always good to see what everybody's interested in.
Yeah, good to have you here. The whole studio's backed up, got a battery backup, so we're fine. Even if I was thinking if the power went down, I could probably make it 45, 50, 60 minutes. I might even be able to do a whole show on that. But the good news is it just flickered a little bit. And I think we're going to be fine for the evening. Well, a couple things before we jump in here. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers. For those of you who support us every single month on Patreon, thank you for doing that. If you want to join that team, we just have one plan. It's super simple, $5 a month. Head out to theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. And then if you want to use our affiliate link, if you want to support the network, head out to theaverageguy.tv. In the upper right-hand corner, there's just a link you can click through. It'll take you to Amazon, automatically embed the cookie. Whatever you purchase there supports the network. Appreciate when you do that. Nothing more you need to do than that. Appreciate that if you do it. Big thanks to Marv B, who joined me last week. And we're going to have, I always appreciate Marv. We talked about the Florida Man games, which was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And so Marv, thanks for coming in here. Aaron Lawrence is joining me from Tech Gadgets Canada. Aaron, how are you? It's been, well, we get you every couple months. So welcome back.
Mm-hmm. It's so good to be back. Yeah, I think we were last together in maybe December, maybe in the fall.
Yeah.
So it's been a minute.
Yeah, no, it's always good to have you. What's anything new in your world besides the stuff we're going to cover? Anything?
Definitely. Nothing too exciting. It's been a busy season. Lots of reviews coming my way, lots to talk about, lots of new tech kind of rolling out in the months after CES, the big electronics show. So, yeah, I've just been trying to keep up on all my reviews and started doing some interesting content, which I think we're going to talk a little bit about, too. So,
yeah,
teaser.
It's coming up. It's coming up. Do you get a sense, as you look at 2025, before we cover products, as you look at 2025, any trends you're seeing from the gadget space? Certainly, you know, there may be a hurry to get some things done and covered, right? Are you seeing any trends associated with that as far as products go or lines of products, anything along those lines?
I think smart home is still really huge. Things like, you know, robot vacuums or smart lighting. I'm seeing a lot more smart lighting. I just finished a review. I think it just went up on the YouTube channel today, which is youtube.com/AaronLawrenceTV, about some smart solar stake lights. So if everybody's seen those solar stake lights that you can just, you know, jam into your grass in your yard, and we all know they're practically disposable. They last a year or two and then they're done. But I found this brand that actually makes really durable, long-lasting lights. And they just came out with smart app-controlled solar stake lights. Ooh. So it takes all the simplicity and the wireless convenience of those lights, but adds full control and full color now. So those are called Link-kind solar stake lights. And so that's just like one development in the smart home game. The other thing I'm seeing a lot more now that's filling up my inbox, I would say, is robot lawnmowers. There's a lot of brands that are coming out with their own version of a robot lawnmower. And I think it's going to be, I kind of thought it was going to be big last year. I'm not sure everything was ready last year. So I think this could be the summer of the robot lawnmower.
Yeah. I think when you start hearing brands that you've never heard of before, right? That's like, okay, we're there. Everybody's coming out with one. I think it's time. I think, you know, you've been using a robot lawnmower now for the last maybe three seasons, I want to say, two or three seasons.
I think
that's another sign. Like, we went from wired to just mapping, and they seem to be getting, and the prices have been dropping. Not, yes. not a lot. I think you're still going to invest quite a bit to get Gavin Campbell, who is on the show. He'll be back on the show here in a couple weeks. He just got into a robot lawnmower. Of course, he's up there in Edmonton, and it's not quite lawn mowing season yet. So
right.
He hasn't got to it yet. But I think we're seeing the prices moderating some or coming down some to be a little bit more reasonable. I think, and we're going to talk about robot lawnmowers here in a second, but I think and you could tell more than others, I think the features are getting more, like every mower works kind of the same. They're all kind of doing similar stuff, and they're just kind of working. I don't know. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I think the technology has come a long way. You touched on wires. The very first two robot lawnmowers that I reviewed were wired. So you had to dig up part of your lawn, lay the cable, make sure it was, you know, in exactly the right place, or the bot couldn't get there. But now we're going to talk a little bit about this, I think. But now all you have to do is sort of like drive the robot lawnmower around your yard, and that essentially delineates where the boundary is for it, and then you're done. So the setup and the time investment in getting started in a robot lawnmower, it used to be 2 or 3 days, I would say, is what I put into kind of digging up my lawn and laying that boundary wire. The last robot lawnmower I reviewed just a couple of weeks ago, I was set up and ready to cut my lawn in about 5 minutes.
Let's jump in on that. I was going to go to something else, but since we're talking about it, on your YouTube channel, I've posted that. It's showing on the screen right now if you want to head out there right now as well. But you got a chance to look at this, do they say EcoVac? Or talk EcoVac, a little bit about,
yes.
Yeah, okay. Talk a little bit about this more.
Yeah, so this is kind of some of that newer technology. So it'll mow your entire lawn without those boundary wires. So I just talked about the mapping. That was kind of the first and easiest step. There's all kinds of other technology packed in here too. It'll now cut in straight rows. Mm-hmm. So the EcoVac robot that I reviewed is called the A2500 RTK model. And RTK is, let me get this again, real-time kinematic, I think. And what it essentially does is it connects to satellite with a little pod or puck that you put on a stake near the robot. And it kind of satellite geolocates where your bot is so that it can figure out exactly where it is. And now you've told it through the mapping process what shape your lawn is. So it can actually mow, you know, 1 week it'll mow your lawn east-west, and then the following week it'll mow it north-south, so you don't get those ruts developing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's just another example of some of the pretty intense technology that's available to consumers in a gadget like this.
I was always afraid of, you know, when you think about doing satellite, that I always haven't been the most accurate. Like, you know, mm-hmm. on the ground, watching out for objects, those kinds of things always seem to be the safest. Are you comfortable with satellite kind of that kind of mapping? Does it do a pretty good job?
It really does. I mean, I had some video that I took of it for my review, which is on the YouTube channel, but it, you know, it's almost dead straight and in perfect rows. And the other thing it'll do is you've sort of delineated your yard size and shape as part of the app. So it's kind of got it drawn out there for you. So it'll actually show you where it has been, and you can see how very straight the rows run. So it's pretty amazing technology.
Now, this is you controlling on the screen right now, you controlling the mower on its first go around. It seemed a little like the lines were a little shaky. Does that matter at all? I mean, you would think you almost need a controller, like a game controller to do this.
Well, and that's exactly what it was. So you essentially load up this joystick as part of the app, and you'll drive the robot around the edges of your yard. And it was my first time doing it. I'm also not a gamer. Like, using a joystick for anything these days is not my forte. So the lines did come out pretty I'll say wobbly. It wasn't like perfectly straight edges. And for the most part, it didn't matter, because one of the other features that a robot lawnmower like this Ecovacs A2500 has is you can tell it whether or not to nose over the edge of that boundary. So you don't have to worry about trimming the edges. If you don't want it going over those edges because maybe you've got a drop off, then you can tell it to just stay kind of inside the lines. The other thing I found, I did have a drop off on one side of the lawn where if I had the bot set to kind of go right to the edges, it was slipping off that edge. But the other thing you can do is just go in there, you drive the bot over to the problem area and you kind of mark it out with the robot and then tell it that's a no-go area, and then it just won't go there again. So again, that took me, you know, 5 minutes to draw out that boundary, and then I never had problems again with it slipping off the little ledge.
Do you feel like it kind of learns too as it goes? If there's some spaces that it's difficult to get into, it'll mark those. You're showing that on the screen right now. Mm-hmm. You put a barrier in its way, it's going to go around it. Does it remember those kinds of things?
I don't think it remembers them, but it does have pretty intense object recognition and avoidance. So it'll recognize people, it'll recognize pets, it can recognize objects. I want to say it was bigger than 10 centimeters. So a tennis ball, probably not, but you know, something bigger. I had a little pylon out there to test it with. And it definitely, you can see it almost recognizing that it's coming up to something. So it'll slow, and then it won't even really nudge it. It'll just kind of get right up close to it and then back away, turn around and go in another direction. So it's pretty clever that way.
Did you find, like, one of the things, you know, robot lawnmower technology has been these little blades. And like from the beginning of time, they've been these like almost like razor blades. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming this is something like that as well. And there's got to be some safety to that, right? You don't want a big, I was going to build my own lawnmower. In fact, my regular listeners from time to time are like, hey, when's that lawnmower going to come out? Right? And I was going to repurpose an old, you know, I had an old from maybe 10 years ago, an old battery operated Black & Decker that had a lead acid battery in it back before we saw the, you know, the lithium ion stuff that we see today. I was going to try and convert that into a robot lawnmower of sort, just kind of build my own DIY. Now, there's some problems with that when you think about that big blade spinning. Mm-hmm. Now, the picture we're seeing right now, this is a pretty big device. You're able to handle it okay, but still the same blade technology as far as mowing the lawn with little tiny blades?
Yes and no. With this one in particular, it's got what I think they refer to as a dual blade array. So most robot lawnmowers that I've had the chance to test have just kind of a disc underneath, and there's usually three or four blades attached to that disc and they spin, and that's what cuts the lawn for you. This one kind of goes a little bit further. It gives you a bit more cutting power, a bit more cutting area with those two dual discs, and there's three blades on each disc. They are those smaller blades. And I was really surprised actually at how effective that is. You look at those blades, because Jim's right, they are the size of, you know, razor blades.
Yeah.
But it's incredibly effective. I mean, they're spinning really fast. There's two of these arrays. So it seems to be quite effective. And it can cut, oh gosh, I forget off the top of my head now, but it's somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, 1.5 inches up to 4 inches, depending on how long or short you like your grass.
Yeah. Yeah. And certainly always one of those things you want to mow more frequently than less, because you don't want that to get away from you. I sometimes watch videos. There's a whole genre of YouTube videos of lawn mowing professionals, right? Who go in, and there's something satisfying about watching them trim and mow, right? Kind of thing. Not a robot lawnmower's place though, right? To go into an overgrown lawn. Have you gotten to a point where maybe the grass has gotten a little too long and for whatever you were trying to mow it with, it couldn't handle it?
It's been pretty good. I did test it by leaving it for kind of, you know, a week before I ran it. And it didn't have a problem managing it at all. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't want to let it get too much longer. But the other thing about a device like this, if you're going to invest this kind of money in a product like this, you can schedule them. So anytime I use a robot lawnmower, I schedule it to cut the grass overnight every other night. Yeah. So the lawn never looks like it's growing. And if people are out there thinking like, you're cutting the grass in the middle of the night, don't your neighbors hate you? No, they do not, because these mowers run completely silently. Yeah. So, I mean, you can be sitting right next to a lawnmower like this running and you won't hear a peep, you won't hear a thing. So I've found that to be really effective, is just send it out every other night. You can, of course, do other things like delineate different areas of your lawn. So, you know, if you want it to cut this area, you know, one night and the other area the next, if you want to have different sort of zones or sectors, if they're sort of all connected into the same space, you can do that. I mean, how you want to run your lawn is completely up to you with a device like this.
I've got some spots. If I wanted to mow, you know, my front yard is Zoysia. So thick Bermuda, lush in the summer. It dies in the winter and I have a brown lawn. My neighbors aren't happy about that, but it's okay. They get over it. There's some obstacles. And when I say obstacles, I think maybe an inch or two of a step up onto a, you know, onto a sidewalk to get to the front yard from the back. I would only want one of these kinds of things. Do you think, you were showing in your video, you were showing the wheels have gotten pretty big. This one's got some treads on it to kind of get some grip for your average, maybe inch, half an inch to an inch. Oh, what is that? 3 centimeters to 7 centimeters. Sorry about that. Jump up, like, so to speak. Do you think a mower like this could handle that? Or is it going to get stuck on a ledge for a sidewalk, so to speak?
That's a good question. I have a pretty flat yard, so we didn't have any steps or anything like that. I know the mower's tires are really chunky and they've got, you know, like almost 3/4 inch grips on every tire. So it has no problem negotiating hillier lawns. I'm not quite sure what would happen though, if it were sort of like sidewalks and steps or like big, you know, if you've got a sidewalk that's heaved, what might happen with that? I think that might be something where you'd want to delineate a no-go zone for it. And, you know, you'd either have to tend to that with a trimmer or in some other way.
Yeah. Couple comments coming in from the chat room. So Brandon, he had to take off, but he did say before he left, agreed 100% of this year, 100% this year is the year of robot lawnmowers. And that, you know, I think, you know, yeah, maybe he might be right. Yarbo, which has also been in this space, right, developing, and you see those things online and you kind of think the size of your mower, they're actually big because they drive snow blowers and they drive, they kind of drive other, those are pretty big pieces of equipment that are out there. One of the, we were talking about, well, Bob said, yeah, no more having circular or irregular, lawn lines. I was going to ask you, so you could go, you know, you could go one direction and go the other. Would it let you cut diagonally as well? Because that's what I like to do. Oh. I go one way and then I go the other. And then on the third one, I go diagonally. And then on the fourth one, I go opposite diagonal.
Right.
Could you set something like that up?
I didn't actually check for diagonal. That's an interesting question.
Yeah, that's the
With the satellite positioning, in theory, it would know how to do it. So. Yeah. I'll have to ask
I would love those four positions to, you know, that seems to be every 3 days, you know, mow it in those three directions. Okay. But every time you talk about a robot lawnmower, what about the poopalock? I can't even say it. Poopalock.
Apocalypse?
I can't say it. Yeah. The dog, so to speak. How does that work? You had a dog. You showed that in your video.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got two, and they are always, you know, leaving presents for us in the yard. You do have to keep the yard picked up with a robot like this, which we do. The great thing about this mower in particular, the Ecovex A2500, similar to other ones I've reviewed, they're washable. I mean, you can hit them with the hose and clean them off if they do run into something they shouldn't. It doesn't tend to gum up the blades or anything. It'll usually just kind of muck up the front bumper of the robot, or it gets caught in the wheels. But like I said, I've dealt with that. I've cleaned it, a quick hit with the hose and the you know, the water gun, and it actually cleans up fairly easily.
It is. You have dogs. You're used to those, right? That doesn't, for you, you're like, that's fine. Quick tech reviews, says in chat. That's why I love my crabgrass weed lawn. Stays green. I had a friend one time, used to live in a different part of town, and I didn't spend a lot of time on my lawn. I was working hard and going to college and raising a family and all those things. He said something about my lawn. I said, you know what? It always mows green. That was my kind of philosophy on that. So quick tech reviews. Thanks for jumping in and saying that as well. Are you to a point where, okay, we're in a second, or maybe we'll talk about vacuum cleaners, but robot vacuum cleaners. Do you have a favorite lawn mower? Can you have one as a reviewer? I know you got to be careful there, but if you had to pick one, would you pick one? I don't know.
Yeah. Short answer. Yes. Sure. I haven't reviewed a lot of lawnmowers, and it's really kind of just been two brands. I've reviewed two from Husqvarna. Both of those were wired in lawnmowers. As far as I understand, Husqvarna actually does have one of the, you know, non-wired versions. I haven't had a chance to try that one. I would love to try out some of the different brands. Right now, Ecovax is the most recent one that I've had, and it's fantastic. It's far and away my favorite right now. I will give the caveat that Ecovax has come on and become a sponsor of my YouTube channel, which I'm super thrilled about because I like the company. I love its products. And I really appreciate the support they're giving me to keep the channel running. So I'm not saying that just because they're a sponsor of the channel. This is truly the best robot lawnmower I've tried. With that said, I'd love to try out a bunch of other brands and a bunch of other devices too. So see what's out there.
Husqvarna, good name in that. I mean, a big brand name. And then Ecovax, I didn't even think about this. They're actually big in the vacuum cleaner, in the robot vacuum cleaner space, right? Too as well.
Huge.
Have you reviewed some of their vacuum cleaners?
They put out usually three new vacuums every year, maybe more. And I'm fortunate enough to usually get my hands on all of them. So they've come out with a bunch in the last few months. They've come out with the Goat, which is the robot lawnmower. And then they also have a window bot. I think it's actually called WinBot that'll automatically clean your windows for you, which I think is kind of a neat concept. I tried something like that, gosh, maybe about 10 years ago now, and it was pretty rudimentary. So I'm interested in where the technology's gone since then.
A little unfair to use the Goat term, greatest of all time, right? But I appreciate the branding there.
Reason.
Yeah. Well, okay. On your video, you have some goats showing in the very, did you have to go rent goats for that part?
You know what? I have an internet friend who runs an Instagram account called Goatstagram. And I am going to give them a plug here because they're fantastic people. Goatstagram on Instagram. They own goats. And they just upload videos on their YouTube channel and on Instagram of like hilarious things these goats do. So I just reached out and I said, you know, when I think of people I know with goats, you came to mind. Like, do you have any video I could use to include in this, this review I'm doing? And they very graciously, did send me some footage that I used. So
they're great at clearing out like wild regions of, overgrown things as well.
Yes.
So by the way, there's a whole genre on YouTube around goats.
Speaking of which,
you can watch it. It's great. Speaking of genres, let's make a change over to e-bikes because e-bikes got real popular during COVID. Mm-hmm. And I think those sales of it drove some innovation. And I'm noticing this, I don't want to call it second generation because that's not really true, but I'm noticing this post-COVID generation of e-bikes. They seem to have learned they listened to a lot of the feedback. And then it seems like the second generation of e-bikes is a little bit better. You've been reviewing one. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is from a new to me brand called Yourtopia. And they sent me a bike to try out called the Carbon One Step. And the key innovation with this bike and another one that I'm going to review from them as well is it's got a carbon fiber frame. So carbon fiber frames are ultra light and also tongue twisters.
Yeah.
But it makes them so much easier to lift. I mean, the thing about e-bikes is they're fantastic and they're, you know, pretty durable, but they weigh almost as much as a motorcycle in some cases. I mean, they're really heavy. And if your battery ever does die with a traditional e-bike, you know, pedaling it on your own power is a lot of work. So I was really curious when I started doing research about these carbon fiber e-bikes, because I was like, are they going to feel rickety? Are they going to feel light? Is it going to feel like, you know, you're off like a shot with the motor, but you feel like you're leaving the bike behind? Like, what's it going to be like? And I was really impressed actually with how the frame, how light the frame is, but still how it contributes to a really smooth and comfortable ride. So the Carbon One step through bike that I tried is just a step through bike. They've got a couple of different options depending on what your preference is. But the other innovation you're seeing a lot with e-bikes too, in addition to this lighter frame, is a lot more digital smarts, I guess you could say. So the screens on them, the info screens are getting a little bigger. They're getting a little smarter. The Carbon One Step has some limited voice control as well, but it's also got, you know, GPS so that you can, it'll, what am I trying to say? You can find it on a map if it should ever get lost or stolen, more likely.
Yeah, yeah.
So it connects to an app.
Phone, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's basically like
your car now.
For your bike. Yes.
Or your car.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. I mean, there's a lot of technology built into this bike in particular, and it'll talk to you. You can connect your phone to it and load up directions through the phone. When you use the phone, it does have to be with you. You can't sort of go out on the bike without the phone, but you can load up the directions, and on the digital screen, it'll sort of show you like turn right here, turn left here, and it'll talk to you as well if you want it to. So, I mean, You think of all the neat innovations in smart home tech, and a lot of that stuff is coming to bicycle tech.
Yeah, that might be an interesting innovation when we think about bike rentals. You know, you go into a city, you've never been into it before, being able to connect to the bike on your phone and then get some directions. Now, you could do this through other apps and such, but that sounds kind of cool that you could get some of that connectivity to your bike. Is it? It doesn't look like a fitness bike. Do they, are they taking any kind of fitness angle to this as far as calories or, you know, how far you've gone, some of those kinds of things?
Great, great question. And actually that would be a great innovation. So if Utopia is listening to this podcast tonight, that would be, I mean, another logical step, right? Yeah. Like if you've got an Apple Watch or a Google Pixel Watch, being able to see your heart rate on that display screen would be a big deal, I think, for a lot of people. So short answer, that was the long answer. Short answer is no fitness metrics in there right now. Right. But I think that's a great idea, Jim. You should, maybe you should be marketing and
you never, maybe you should send me one. here in Nebraska, right? I mean, the biking season, well, you're up in Canada, so you know how this goes. The biking season isn't the longest. You know, you get a little bit of spring, all summer, a little bit of fall.
Yeah.
But I did, we were using electric bikes. Well, it was called Electric Assist, and they're the B-cycle bikes here in Omaha. They're the rental bikes. They're made by Trek. They're super heavy. Like you couldn't, like they're tanks. Like, I mean, they kind of design them so the users can't ruin them. And, but I used to ride them for fitness and use that Electric Assist from time to time to get more speed or whatever on that. I would see, as you ride this bike, does it feel, I mean, it's carbon fiber, light, yes, but does it feel kind of hefty at the same time? Would you be okay jumping off the curb, so to speak? It's been a long time since I've jumped off a curb. What would you jump off a curb?
I did. Well, not jump like you're probably talking about, but, you know, I did take it over some terrain and some curves and things like that. And it does feel pretty sturdy. It feels sturdier than I would have given it credit for. And I just found, I really liked the option. It's got, I think that one has 4 or 5 levels of pedal assist. So depending on how much of a workout you want to give yourself, you can kind of dial it up or down. And the pedal assist, kind of like the name suggests, if anyone isn't familiar with the technology, you can adjust how much help the motor gives you based on how hard you're pedaling. So that's kind of another neat feature too. If you want just a little bit of help because you want more of a workout, you can do that. If you want all the help in the world because you're going up a really big hill, as you know, happens to me, you can have that too.
It's a fairly, I mean, e-bikes have got, they're a little more expensive from a value proposition? If I assume for you, there would need to be a certain ROI on using it every day, or using it as part of your commute, or taking it with you when you're camping. We know you're, you know, we know you do some van camping and such that you've been talking for. From a pricing standpoint, does it feel like for you this would be a good thing to put on the back of the RV or to have at home for some basic commuting maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. The other thing that Utopia in particular has is, and I've just wrapped the review on this. It's going to go up on the YouTube channel in the next day or so, if it's not there already, is they've got a smaller frame cargo bike. So if you do have the need to, you know, carry a few things to work, or you want to go out and get the groceries to be able, maybe justify having something like this a little more, a cargo bike is another way you can go. Yeah. The one I tried out also has that ultralight carbon frame. So, and you can put baskets, you know, and trays on the front and or the back. So there's plenty of room to carry. I think the one that I'm finishing now, it's called the Utopia Joy, can carry up to 330 pounds total. So, I mean, it can carry a big person and a bunch of gear. So I think with something like that, you know, if you could just take your bike to the market, take your bike to the store, and you didn't have to go to, in the car, I mean, it's great exercise. It's good for the planet, all of that stuff. And it might justify the price tag for a lot of people.
There's a question in chat. I think it's a good one. Let me see if I get, why a second account on this? How can you generate fitness metrics if you aren't pedaling? Now, okay, with an e-bike, talk a little bit about, you rode this. Certainly you do pedal some, but there are times, it's been a while since I've ridden a modern electric bike. Can you go full no pedaling on this thing and it'll completely power itself? And how's that experience and how much range do you get?
Yeah, you can do both depending on the bike. With the Carbon One, the Utopia Carbon One Step, there's no throttle on that. So you do need to always be pedaling at some time. And, you know, having that lighter frame makes that a bit easier. The other bike that I'm reviewing from them, the Utopia Joy model, does have a throttle. So with that one, I mean, you can just use the throttle to go wherever you want to go. So in that case, I mean, no, you're not getting much in the way of fitness metrics. But with another bike that might not come with a throttle, you will always have to be pedaling at some point. And I think to something else you said, you can turn all of the power assistance right off on these bikes too. So if you do want to use it more as a regular bike to give yourself a bit of a workout, you can do that too.
On their webpage, they talk about the long range up to 80 miles, about 750 watts of power on that. I would think for a commuter bike, I'm thinking, okay, so I live in Nebraska. We're not the most bike friendly state. Right. Like we tried, we actually go back and forth. We actually had a bike path put in on our main avenue out of Bellevue into Omaha. And then they took it away. They were like, not enough people used it. Right. We kind of, we're in that phase where we're going back and forth kind of deal on it. So they took it away pretty fast. I could get to work from where I live. It's 10 miles to where I work. And I could get to work on a bike. In fact, in 10 years ago, I used to just take a regular bike to work from time. And I do it as a workout. We have a fitness center and a shower facility like at work. So I could bike in, shower before work and get it done. Do you feel like on a 10-mile ride on a bike like this with the assistance or even full time, could I get in without breaking a sweat? I mean, could I shower before, ride the bike in and get it done on like on a 10 or 15-mile? Journey.
You absolutely could do that. I tested the bike out on a 10-mile loop. Granted, it was mostly flat, but I mean, you really don't have to do anything. You can work as hard or as not hard as you want. So I think, yeah, if you've got a bike with that extra power assistance or with a throttle, I mean, there'd be no reason for you to break a sweat.
Yeah, I go back and forth. You know, we're talking about a $1,500 US dollars, $1,500 to $2,000 investment. Cheaper than a moped, but still not. I mean, I could probably get a good mountain bike for $1,000. So that's, you know, you're kind of in between those two. Just for me, it's always that toss up. And then the weather, right? I mean, we're not, I'm not Southern California where it's nice 364 days out of the year where you could bike all the time. So I kind of go back and forth on that. That's been, you know, that's been for me, a bike would, I'd want a bike for fitness, but it would be kind of nice to be able to on a nice day like today. Okay. These are temperatures in Fahrenheit. When I went into work, it was 61 with a light jacket, 61 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
That'd have been a nice light jacket bike in morning, especially on a bike like this. It was 80 some, let's say 79. Again, really nice to bike home, especially if I'm not pedaling. So, you know, if I could get, I would probably get, I don't know, maybe 15 to 25 days a year where I could do that. I don't know. It's hard to justify it for that short of a time period, right? Sometimes, you know. So I don't know. Those are the, for me, those are the real ramifications. Nebraska is not the most bike friendly environment at times, right?
It's where not, it's not New York City.
No. Which,
you know, could be very
Do you think New
different.
York City is bike friendly? Do you think,
well,
it'd have to be, wouldn't it?
I don't know, actually. I mean, there, it's certainly like distance wise, it's possible. I know, you know, with all the traffic there, it might not be the safest environment.
Yeah.
If anybody knows, you know, has biked in New York, I'd love to hear.
You're up in Canada. Would you feel, as you think about Vancouver or Alberta or Calgary, where you're at, are those bike friendly cities in the north?
We're Vancouver, certainly. Vancouver, has taken big strides towards being very bike friendly. In Calgary, it's so much harder. I mean, the temperatures get to the minus double digits there. So there's a good chunk of the year where only the insane, you know, venture outside, let alone would try biking to work.
Yeah.
Plus with the snow, I mean, you'd have to have really good snow tires.
Yeah.
With that said, we're kind of doing the same thing I think you were, where we're trying to be a little more bike friendly and trying to create that environment where we can be a more bike friendly city, in Calgary in particular. And I don't know that people are embracing it fully. Yeah, certainly some diehards are, but I mean, what's that saying? If you build it, they will come.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if necessity, you know, if necessity is there or gas gets really expensive, it always cracks me up whenever, and we're not in that situation now, but when gas prices go way up, all of a sudden biking becomes a real popular thing to do again. You know, everybody's like,
or when cars get really expensive.
Yeah. 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 Who knows? Who knows where we'll be with that? I think, I mean, I think we're on the backside of all the innovation on bicycles. And so right now may be a good time to think about if you were doing that there again, they were real popular, hard to find for a while during the pandemic. The prices went way up for a while. I'm getting the feeling when we're talking about e-bikes, the excitement is down a little bit. And of course I'm always looking for a good deal. And so I would encourage folks, as you're looking now, might be a, nobody's talking about them right now. Now may be a great time to get that done. Okay, let's shift gears a little bit. You spent some time reviewing some Beats headphones. We have both a speaker and some, you know, this seems to be the never-ending, you know, dilemma of what do I stick in my ears? Like what how does it have a does it have a microphone hanging out in it? Is it am I going with an Apple device? You know, am I doing something from Samsung? Talk a little bit about these Beats, Power Beats Pro 2s.
Yeah, Power Beats Pro 2, these were about 10 years in the making or so, the folks at Beats told me. The first one came out almost exactly 10 years ago. And I guess people were asking for, you know, when is your sports headphone going to re-innovate? When are you going to come out with a new version? Because there was a few problems that people had with the original. So, you know, 10 years on, they came out with the version 2. And these are definitely a sport-focused earbud, I guess you could call them. They're made with hooks that will hook over your ear to keep them in place. But Beats did a really good job sizing them down substantially from the original version. So they shaved off a bunch of weight, a bunch of thickness from them. So they're really light. They're actually quite comfortable. I'm not generally a fan of those ear hook earbuds, but I found these were I forgot I was wearing them after a while. And I did take them to the gym over a couple of weeks and, you know, did all kinds of interesting exercises and tried to shake them, and they hold really well. So I thought it was actually a really good build quality for these. And the sound quality was what really surprised me. I assume maybe like some of you out there that, you know, sports headphones are for the sport thing is first, right? Like they've got to be secure. They've got to be waterproof. They got to be durable if you drop them. And I thought maybe sound quality would come third or fourth in that list, but these have killer sound quality. They sound really good. So I was surprised to find that these are actually a total package when it comes to earbuds.
One of the things I'm now starting to notice now, we're back at work more often than we've been in the past, right? So I'm seeing folks in the office a couple more days a week than I used to. I'm seeing earbuds, various brands, in way more often than I used to. That may be one of those things where the workplace, where it used to not be acceptable, and now, like, for whatever reason, post-pandemic, it's totally acceptable to have your earbuds in all day, whatever, going around. Would these earbuds, could they be an all day? I mean, yeah, you're showing here in the video, they're kind of designed for fitness. They hold in your ears, but the design is fairly non-intrusive, not sticking out. Like, you know, you're not wearing, listen, I watch folks work with big cans on, right. Like you have tonight. Would this be something you'd wear at work? Assuming you worked in an office, which you don't, but let's pretend you did for a second. Would you wear something like this, or could it work that way?
I think you could. I would say probably the longest I wore them was maybe about 90 minutes or so. And they were certainly comfortable for that. Are they 8 hours comfortable? Gosh, I mean, I don't know that any headphone is. I mean, even the Apple AirPods Max are, they lean on you after a while. So yeah, I think need a break. But to your point, I think a lot of people started wearing earbuds after the pandemic because we all got used to working at home where it's quiet and you can sort of control the environment. And now that people are back in offices with distractions and phone calls and people eating next to you and all of that stuff, it's almost like people don't handle it as well. So they want something to block out the noise and the distractions. So I'm hearing a lot about noise cancellation being a real key factor in a lot of headphones when people are shopping.
Yeah, I'm just noticing this generation coming into the workforce is way more comfortable. And I don't care if they've got headphones on when they're working, but they're way more comfortable. You know, it's kind of blocking out those distractions. We have work environments that are much more open than they used to be. We used to have offices or you'd be in a cube. High cubes, those cubes all came down and the offices kind of disappeared, right? In some regard.
Collaborative work now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in way back in the day, right, there was a company called Earbuds, and I got big into those because they make these really nice, I'm still wearing a set. I have to go on eBay to find them. Like, you know, they're hard to find now, right? Because they got bought by, I forget who they got bought by, and then they got put out of business. They stopped making these. But they basically make these covers that go over the headphone piece that are very, very comfortable in your ears. And I've live streamed for 4 or 5 hours with them in, right? I was a little disappointed when they got kind of discontinued. I think we can do this. The Beats version goes the same route as EarPods and some of those others, where they're trying to put that earpiece in where it snugs into your ear and then that's what doesn't allow you to have them in very long. Now, most workouts are only an hour. The earbuds were designed for triathletes who would be training for 4 or 5 hours at a time, right? Kind of thing. So I'm a little disappointed we never got back to that because I would love to have an earpiece I could put in and leave in all day. Do these have, I know the Apple version has some audio pass through, right? Where it actually brings the audio in and passes it in to you and sounds good. Do these have any kind of audio pass through? How does that does that work at all if you have them in hearing other people?
They do actually. Some companies call it hear through, some companies call it ambient mode, but it's basically the ability to pass that audio through. So whatever's happening around you, you can hear. The Beats Power Beats Pro 2 have that. And I actually found that it was the pass-through sounds a lot more natural than a lot of headphones do. Anybody who's ever tried to use that pass-through or that hear-through, sometimes it can come with a real hiss or almost an echo or a really hollow sound. So it just sounds very artificial, like, yes, it's coming through my headphones. But I found that these were a lot more natural. So it didn't really seem like I had anything between me and the sound around me. And then, of course, you know, you can just press a button and you're back into full noise cancellation mode if you want to. So it's an easy switch as well.
You've had both the Apple and then as you think about the Beats, preference on either one, would you, are there situations where you use one and not the other?
They're pretty similar. I mean, Apple owns Beats now, so I'll use something like,
I didn't know that.
All they do. Yeah. So, and actually the technology that you use to connect with them is almost identical to pairing any Apple device. So it's kind of seamless pairing. You don't, with an iPhone, use a separate app for the Power Beats Pro like you would if you have an Android phone. So they've kind of taken that whole Apple seamless connectivity, one ecosystem thing and applied it for a lot of the Beats products. So that's kind of nice. But at the same time, if you're an Android user, you still get almost all the full spectrum of all the features as well.
Okay. That's interesting that they would still continue with their, you know, they've got the AirPod. No, what do they call the ones you put in your ears?
AirPods
Pro or whatever, and still run the Beats line. I mean, this and the brand is so strong on Beats.
They're very different, and they're very different products. They really are.
Yeah, that's true. One, well, because it's over the ear, right? It kind of holds that in, where the other ones are just sit in your ears, and maybe are designed for a different day. One of the things over the last couple months, I ran the Trek Up the Tower here in Omaha, which is a vertical mile experience. So 11 times up, 40 flights for, it was it's a lot more glamorous. It sounds a lot more glamorous than it was.
I don't know about glamorous, Jim, but I'm impressed.
I think I blacked out a couple times during it. During the training of that, though, we would be in stairwells for hours working out to get the stairwell in. One of the things I brought was I bought a Bose. I actually got this as a gift. Kind of the Bose, these things are actually super handy to have.
Yeah,
Bose makes it, it's super solid. I swear I could hurt somebody with this thing.
Is that the Revolve?
Yes, it is the Revolve.
That's a fantastic speaker.
Amazing speaker, does a great job. You recently reviewed the Pill, the Beats Pill, though. How do you think, it sounds like you've seen both. How does it compare to that? And is you're reviewing these? I mean, come on, it's just an outdoor speaker, but how'd that work?
It's pretty high end. It was really impressive. I love the design of it. It's a really sexy speaker. If that's something you're looking for, if the looks are important as much as the sound. And it's a fairly small speaker. It's, I don't know, like, you know, small-ish, but really portable, light, and it cranks. It was really powerful. I gained really good sound quality. I've been really impressed with a lot of the stuff that I've been trying out from Beats in the last couple of months. I haven't been a big Beats user, and I haven't had a chance to test a lot of things before kind of this year, earlier this year. So I've been finding that I'm really becoming a fan of the brand. I like the design. I like the work they put into it. You know, it kind of, the Beats Pill speaker in particular does everything you need to. It's got seamless pairing with your Apple devices. You can use the Beats app if you're Android, portable, waterproof, you know, all of that stuff. So it checked a lot of boxes for me.
I'm not sure the Revolve is waterproof, although I have splashed it and dropped it and out on the deck. I use it as my deck speaker with the TV. So I pair it with the TV out on the deck. And there's been many times I've taken the TV off the stand to bring it in for the, you know, so it doesn't get wet. and I kick this thing off and it drops to the ground, right? Do you feel like you get that same kind of durability? I mean, I know they're waterproof. You get that because, listen, in a workout or in an outdoor space, these things are awesome to be able, you just grab them. The battery life lasts a long time. You can just throw them down and you got sound, pair them with a phone and you got sound around you. How'd you feel about the durability of the Beats?
This one, just the way that it looks, and you know, I mean, it feels substantial, but it looks delicate. And just the way, like with the curves and kind of the lines on something like this, I wasn't super comfortable trying to drop it. But with that said, I mean, it's got a silicone wrap on it. It feels pretty, we'll get some more ASMR in here. It feels pretty durable.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty confident. I didn't test it out, but I do feel pretty confident that it would be fairly durable. Okay.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so. You know, that's one of those things. What do you remember the retail on that? How much is that retail?
I do not. Not on the cheaper end of the Bluetooth speaker range. Yeah. Beats products tend to be a little pricier.
Yeah. It's a brand. Like Bose.
Yeah. It's a lifestyle. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a brand. It's going to hold up for you. We would put this at the bottom. We had a 5-flight stairs, and we'd put this at the bottom of the stairs. I'd pair it with my phone, so I'd leave my phone at the bottom. By the time we climbed to the top, you could barely hear it.
Yeah.
And then you hear as you get down. One of the fun things that we did with it was guess the next song. So, you know, I played a Pandora channel, and then we'd get to the top. You couldn't hear it anymore. And as you're coming down, we'd try to see at what flight on the way down could you pick the song? Hey, listen, when you're in the stairwell for 2 or 3 hours at a workout, you find
kudos things to you, do. Man. You've got to entertain yourself during all of that work.
Yeah, you find things to do. Did you get outside as another situation where this is kind of important? Did you get a feel for how well that works, kind of sitting on the deck with a bunch of people enjoying cocktails?
Yeah, that's definitely a good test for a lot of portable Bluetooth speakers in particular, because they can sound good inside the house, but you take them outside and they're wimpy, right? Mm-hmm. I got a really good range from this one. I did use it outside quite a bit. And yeah, I mean, it gets really loud. It covers a pretty wide area to the point where I was a little concerned about disturbing the neighbors. So, I dialed the testing back.
That's when it's good, by the way, when you're worried about
the neighbors are peeking over the fence going, can you turn it down?
Yeah, down just a little bit. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, that's a good, the on the Bose, the bass is just amazing on that thing. Yeah. Like it just pushes with the Beats. Do you feel like you get enough? That's kind of a pill. I know, like this thing is heavy at the bottom and you know the base magnets down here. With the pill kind of design, do you feel like you get the same thing? Does it give you some pretty good bass?
It does. Actually, the bass was really impressive on it. And it's kind of got that. Yeah, I would say it's sort of more bottom heavy, like good and weighty. Yeah. But it's not a 360 degree speaker. There's really only, you know, forward and a little bit up in terms of directionality. But I didn't really find that it was a problem that I noticed it, that if I kind of walked around it, I was like, oh great, now I'm out of speaker range kind of thing.
Does it have an aux in? Can you run an aux in to that?
This
to that
one thing? Does not. It's just got a single USB-C. Okay. So if you had data, I think you can connect it. Otherwise a USB-C data cable, you could probably run it that way. But otherwise it's just wireless.
It was surprising on the Bose. It was surprising on the backside. You can see an aux in. And you think, hey, 1995 called and they want their Walkman back.
Right?
Kind of thing, right? Yeah. On that. And actually it's been a little handy from time to time when you have some devices, and like sometimes a Bluetooth pairing is a challenge, or you want to get it working right away. You know, you don't want to be like pushing buttons.
Yes.
Like, you know, this is all you get on the top, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure on the Beats, you showed that on your video, there's a few buttons and you got to do some button combinations to get certain things working right. Sometimes the old aux in is kind of just nice, you know, you kind of, and so like for the TV, that was one of those things. I have a Roku, it's a Fire, Amazon Fire TV, and the aux just seemed to be, in glitch, Glitch 256 says, yeah, Ox needs to stay. Yeah. It is kind of a nice backup, right? To have there on that. And
well, and Wired. I mean, there's a lot of like people that want lossless audio.
Yeah.
I mean, USB-C is the only way you can get that. I think Beats other headphones. If you want to use lossless audio on those headphones with your iPhone, you've got to plug it in to get that. So I don't think we're getting away entirely from wired connections of one sort or another, but kind of just depends how you want your music.
Yeah, my 21 Legacy still has an aux connection, which I like. I mean, I connect to it Bluetooth all the time, or it's got the Apple, you know, CarPlay, which works fine. But it's nice to have that kind of aux backup. I think we've had various versions of portable speakers, whatever they might be. I think everybody should have a version of a speaker just handy for the various. To take to the picnic or to take outside or to use during a workout. Certainly privacy is an issue in the gym. Although on Sundays when we'd go to do this workout, nobody was in the gym. So we just took the speaker. Super handy, to have. So those are, did you get any feeling for how long a charge would last on like the Bose I get? I can never run the battery out on that thing. You get a feel for battery life?
I don't remember now off the top of my head. I want to say it was in the 20 to 24 hour range. It was pretty good. I can't quite remember.
It's hard to run them out, you know, charge them once a month, I think, and you're in good shape. Aaron, do you have a few more minutes to talk about Post-it notes? I know this is a weird gadget thing, but let me bring this up for you. I'm not sure I'd ever thought I'd ever cover Post-it notes but they've gotten a little gadgety. Talk a little bit about this.
Yeah. So a company called Rocketbook makes basically reusable paper. And they just in the last month or two came out with reusable Post-it notes. So I am a Post-it note monster. There are Post-it notes all over my house, all over my desk, in every room. I use them for everything. And I mean, you know, I kind of love using it, writing it down, and then you crumple it up and throw it out when you're done. I'm like, okay, this is probably not the best for the environment, all this stuff. So I read about these reusable Post-it notes. And I was like, oh man, if I could have the convenience of a Post-it note and feel good about it, I'm up for this. So I got a pack of these reusable Post-it notes, and they're almost like a waxy paper. So you can write on them. You use a special pen called a Frixon pen, which you can get with, you know, a starter kit of these Post-it notes. And it basically just wipes away with water and a damp cloth. So you can clean your notes and reuse them again. But of course, this being tech and technology focused, you can do things like snap a photo of the note and have it digitize it for you. So it can convert your notes to from handwriting to digital format. So it'll type them up essentially for you. It can store the notes. So if you're the type of person that needs, you know, records of all this stuff, you snap a photo and it just stores it in, gosh, I think there's like 20 different databases or platforms you can use to keep track of these notes. But so convenient, so fun. They have a sticky back, which I was like, okay, well, how's this going to work? Like, how long is the sticky back going to last? You wash it, you wipe it down. If it stops becoming sticky, you wipe the back.
Really?
And it's sticky like new again.
That's crazy.
I was blown away. Yeah. They work really, really well. I had such a fun time with the reusable sticky notes.
Yeah. Do you think, okay, so nothing can last forever, but how many wipes do you think you could get on the stickiness before that? And if it gets dirty, do you think that's a problem, or will wiping the dirt out of it help? I don't know.
I think you can, the sticky back, I think as long as you can get off what's on there, I think it should last for a while. But you're right. I mean, even the stickiest stuff is probably going to wear out after a while. Yeah. I mean, at that point, you've essentially just got note paper. And I'm trying to remember how many notes came in a pack. I mean, it's a good amount of notes. It was far more than I needed. So, you know, if you run out or if it sort of outlives its lifespan, you could certainly replace it and pull in some other notes.
QR code in the corner. Is that what I'm seeing there? And are those all unique so that you can kind of manage the notes, so to speak?
Exactly. So it'll recognize it. And, you know, you can, the other thing about these, which I thought was cool, is they're searchable. So, I mean, you can upload all of the notes by taking a picture of them with the QR code, and then everything is searchable again. So you can always get access to it. One of the problems I did find with these notes in particular is some of them, the backing, it's almost so sticky, it's hard to peel the backing cleanly away without, you know, peeling it apart.
You're kind of showing that right now on the video for folks who are watching the video.
It happened a couple times, not with every note. Maybe, you know, maybe it's a bad batch of a couple notes, but that was that was one of the minor downsides I found with them.
You know, a lot of folks, I'm a little bit older than you. You're a little bit younger than me. A lot of folks in our age bracket still like to write. I'm not sure Gen Z or Gen Alpha that's coming behind them. I wonder how they will see these. Like, we find writing is still kind of a therapeutic, like, go-to. Like, I still, listen, I can take 1,000 digital notes.
Yes.
Where I write stuff down, just doesn't stick like grabbing a notebook,
writing it down,
and writing it down. Right? Do you feel like this is a bridge, or do you feel like there may be a market for this even among Gen Z, Gen Alpha? You know, the Gen Alpha is high school kids at this point.
From
a writing standpoint.
That's a really good question. Cause I mean, when you and I were in school, you know, we were writing in binders and duotangs and on three whole paper. Right. Yeah. And, you know, I see kids in school nowadays and they've all got laptops and that's how they're writing. I'm with you though, that I find if I can write something down, it helps me remember it. I actually think there's brain research out there that says that is helpful.
Yeah.
Does it translate to if I type it on a computer screen, I'll also remember it? I don't know. That's a good question. But for me, I really like having that, you know, the experience of writing things down and the tangible thing of a note. Like if I'm writing my grocery list, you know, I can write it beside my desk. I can go take it to the kitchen when I'm done for the day. And then I can go and bring it to the grocery store if I want. And yes, I know people are out there going, well, if you type it into your phone, you'll have it wherever you are. And that is also true. So
no, that's true as well. Yeah. Whatever. I think whatever works. Like we shouldn't shame each other. Like if you're still writing notes down or if you're on your phone all the time doing
Or if you make coffee and drink it the next day. I mean, we should just not shame each other for whatever our preferences are.
Aaron, I thought we were past that. I was going to mention it again.
It's all I've got on you, Jim. It really is.
You've been waiting like a year. To drop
that's
that
a good
one
callback, though. Come on,
it is a good. That was that's maybe the best callback I've ever had in the 15 years I've been doing podcasts.
We're gonna have to explain for those joining from my audience who may not know.
They don't know. Yeah, they don't know that I like to brew coffee on Saturdays and then sometimes Sunday mornings in the perk, I take the thing, put it back in the cup, and just rewarm it. And Aaron wasn't quite okay with that. And then I said the word patina on the coffee maker. She didn't like that word either. Well, we've come full circle. We've come full circle on that as well. I have to say on these sticky notes, just one last note. We have a 32 a wine rack that holds 32 bottles of wine. And we bought that during the pandemic time because we were drinking a lot of wine, right? And we're like, okay. If we're going to continue to do this, let's have a place we can buy it in bulk, get a better deal on it, and stack it. So we started doing that. And of course, I can't take it just that far. Then I got to organize it in some way. And I want to know when I go buy it, you know, how do we buy it efficiently? So we're getting the best deal on wine. You know, in a lot of places when you buy wine, you can get a discount if you buy a certain number or more. Typically, that's a case or 12 here in the United States. And so we actually built a piece of paper that has a grid on it, and it's got the different type of wines that belong in that. And then you can cover the spots that are empty and then take a picture of it and take it with you when you're going to the wine store, right? We just did this in the last month.
Then you never forget it. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't.
Makes sense.
It's a quick way of doing it. I was thinking about these digital notes. That might be another nice way to take the pad, because they have the post-it notes, but I think they've got, right, this is from Rocketbook, right?
Yes.
And Rocketbook has all kinds of different setups on this.
Yeah.
And that might be a perfect setup for I'd never thought about this until you brought it up. Rocketbook might be the make one of those, stick it on the fridge. Then you could check those things off and it would mean certain things and it would show up in a certain place when I go to look at it. Right.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. You should totally check that out. Might be the easy solution, easy and fun and tech forward solution that you've been looking for.
Yeah. Well, we went back and forth between do we put labels on the wine rack so you know what's supposed to be in that place and you can do a quick inventory when you get down there, or do we just put a paper inventory next to it? And we actually thought about printing some pages because we probably buy wine once every 3 or 4 weeks. So it's not like a lot, you're talking 12 a year. That's not a lot of pieces of paper. Well, we kind of came up with this laminated. Yeah. We kind of came up with this laminated. Okay. This is what it should be. Now we have all these sticky things on the fridge you can put on there to cover the spaces. And if you want, you can take a picture of it, or you can just look at it, make a list, send it to whoever. It's usually me who does the shopping. Send it to that person.
Lucky.
And I'm the art of the deal. I like getting deals. Unfortunately. So Aaron, thank you. What's coming up? You got anything that you want to highlight coming up there at techgadgetscanada.com?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of car reviews on the go.
Really?
Yeah.
You're getting big time. I like that.
Yeah, it's nice. Man, there is so much technology in automobiles right now. Yeah, it is just kind of a natural crossover. I just wrapped a review of the 2025 Honda Pilot family SUV. So that is up on the channel, youtube.com/AaronLawrenceTV. And I just today returned a Rivian R1S.
Okay.
I was super excited to check out a Rivian vehicle. They're very rare in Canada, much more ubiquitous down in the US.
Yep.
But man, did I have a cool experience. Now, with that said, I will tease the fact that I think Rivian was pretty cheap when it came to a few aspects of the vehicle. But there is a lot of luxury to love. And I had a really interesting experience with the R1S.
Okay.
So that, and then I've got a Hyundai I'm taking out next week. Nice. So also hoping to get into a Mazda in the next 4 to 6 weeks too. So so there'll definitely be a bunch of car reviews coming up on the channel and some other things like appliances. I've got an Echo Show 15, the new generation of that is coming up. Yeah, it's always busy here in the tech kitchen. So
no, right on. Ed Sullivan, who I meet with every week, he always says, he said to me last week, so when am I going to buy? He knew you were coming on the show.
It's a robot lawnmower, Ed.
What is Aaron going to make me buy? And he does kind of need a robot lawnmower, I think.
I think so.
He picked up the Cadillac EV. And and he talked about, we had him on a couple weeks ago and he talked about the Rivian. That was one of the Rivian, BMW. He talked about the Audi, the various EVs that were on there, Honda and such. Although Honda doesn't have a great EV. So we talked a little bit about that. It'll be interesting to keep up with you. If folks want to follow you, my folks or any folks listening here, what's the best way to do that? Where should they find you?
Yeah. I mean, start at the YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/AaronLawrenceTV or just search Aaron Lawrence on YouTube. I think I'm near the top of the search window. That's the best place. You can also always find me at techgadgetsinternational.com, which is the website. I've been updating the website a little slower in the last few months than anything else. And Instagram. I'm at Aaron LYYC on Instagram. So you can usually see what's going on there. But first and foremost, most of the content goes straight to YouTube. And that's generally the best place to link up.
I will have that link very top or close to the top there at theaverageguy.tv when we post the show. So HGG 643, if you want to join us out there to get that link. And I see on Twitter all the time. I'm not a big Twitter guy, but I have my, for whatever reason, it comes up in my browser tab every day and I view it. You show up all the time there. It's an easy way. I would say make sure you're following Erin on her YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to it. Make sure you click the bell so you get all the stuff that shows up there. And you do some great videos. So, Erin, thanks, Jim.
Thanks so much.
Doing what you're doing. Hey, as I close this up, I'm going to let you go because you're technically on vacation. So we're going to let you run and I'll close the show up. Erin, as always, thank you for being a good friend of the network. Thanks for being a good friend for Home Gadget Geeks. And thanks for being my friend. Always great to have you.
Oh, Jim, you're so sweet. It's always so much fun being on the podcast with you and hearing what you're excited about and learning about what's up with you. And I mean, like I said earlier, your audience is among the best in podcast land, I think. So it's always great hearing from them as well.
They are pretty great. Hey, and Calgary and Omaha, not too far. Maybe someday we'll actually get a chance to.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Hang out. I'd love to hang out up there, but I'm afraid I wouldn't get back into the country.
And the reverse might be true for me. So we'll
give it a little bit of time.
One day, Jim.
We'll give it a little bit of time. So Erin, thanks for jumping in. Enjoy the rest of your vacation. Thanks for jumping in.
Thanks so much. Night.
You bet. Good night. Hey, if you're listening live, stay around for just a second as I close things up. We'll let Erin go and close things out there. And Glitch 256, thanks for subscribing there. Whether you subscribe to me or subscribe to Erin, thanks for doing that. Appreciate it. She joins us, by the way, about once a quarter or so, and jumps in with the stuff that she's doing. So if you've joined her from her channel, that's the first time on Restream that I have had a guest enable their channel, and worked out really well. So thanks for joining us tonight. If you're listening on that, thanks for coming in. If you're a regular listener to the podcast, first of all, if you're coming in on that channel, you can find me, theaverageguy.tv. All the stuff that we do is over there. You want to subscribe, YouTube stuff, you can do all those. You know how to do that. If you're here, you know how to get that done. But appreciate you doing that. It's a fun, friendly community. If you want to join our Discord group, it's not too busy. It's super nice. We do tech deals. You can ask tech questions. You can join us in that Discord group, theaverageguy.tv/Discord. If you want to join the Patreon group, it's theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. Appreciate that. The theaverageguy.tv platform, both web and media hosting, powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting, both web and media hosting. If you're a podcaster, it's the best deal in town. Plan's still at $10. Christian has not given in to inflation. You should take advantage of it. I'm not lying. $10 a month, web and media hosting. He does a bang up job over there. Media, MapleGrovePartners.com. If you've got any feedback for me, you can always send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Thanks for coming out tonight. For our regular listeners, for our new listeners, Glitch265, I saw Why a Second Channel jumping in. I love the handles. Bob checked in. I saw, who did I see a little bit earlier in there? Brandon was checking in as well. Saw Joe. Ken let me know he's in Taiwan doing some spring break. Thanks for coming out tonight. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate you guys listening. And Erin, appreciate you being on the show. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, although that's going to change. Okay. So if you're a regular listener or podcast listener, we're moving it to 7. I don't know exactly when that'll all take place, but starting here pretty quick, we'll be moving the live show 7 p.m. I got enough feedback. Everybody was like, love 7 p.m. That's Central, 8 Eastern. So we're going to make that change. I'll figure out as my guests come on, I'll ask them, hey, can we do this at 7? And so we're moving the show. But we are live every Thursday, soon to be 7 p.m. Right now, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern. I hit theaverageguy.tv/live. Appreciate you guys coming out and being a part of the show. Appreciate all that you do. Happy Easter this weekend to anyone who celebrates that big deal in a lot of places. So happy Easter to you if you're doing that this weekend. And I think with that, we'll say goodbye, everybody.